Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
October 31st, so instead, we chose to go on the night before. We didn't want to risk running into anyone crazy at an abandoned place like that. We just wanted to explore and maybe be a little bit spooked, then leave, which sounded harmless enough. On the 30th, Leon drove us out to the neighborhood it was by and parked on the road. Then we got out and walked through the neighborhood until we got to the street that turned into a gravel path. This was the driveway leading up to the farm. I'd only ever seen the place during the day, but it was pretty much just a large field of grass with a typical wooden barn and a single-story home. From the edge of the path, neither structure was visible. Our flashlights only lit up a few feet ahead as we started making our way down the gravel driveway. Once we started to get closer, we could see the outline of the barn on the left side and the house further back at the end of the driveway. We were more interested in the house, figuring the barn was probably completely empty and not very exciting. We kept walking and got to a clearing of the tall grass. It was like a circle of dirt and short grass that went around the perimeter of the house. As we approached the front, we passed by some large farming equipment. I don't know what they were, just some sort of old tractor-looking things that had been left out for years. Even with our dim flashlights, we could see that they were engulfed in rust. When we got up to the porch, it looked like the door had been replaced by a solid wooden board. We walked around the whole outside of the house, and every window and door was sealed and covered. Disappointed, we went back to the front of the house and tried to think of something else. As we stood there, we saw the path going up to the barn. It wasn't an actual path, it was more of just a line of flattened grass. With nothing else to do, we started heading for the barn. Something felt different as we approached it, compared to when we approached the house. It was just an uneasy feeling that grew as we got closer. When we reached it, the large door was already wide open. I walked in first, and Leon followed behind, both shining our flashlights around as we entered. It only took a couple seconds for a horrid smell to hit us, though it was a barn, so it wasn't exactly surprising, but then we noticed something else. There were footprints all over the ground, but not what you'd expect from other kids exploring the place. They all went in a line, back and forth from a single point on the other side of the barn. I saw in Leon's eyes that he was just as freaked out as I was, but that was the goal of going there in the first place. We slowly walked in line with the footprints, leading to a wooden cellar hatch that was blended in with the floor. The only noticeable thing other than the clear footsteps going up to it was a shiny new padlock that held the hatch shut. Before we could really think about it, a sudden thud shook the whole barn. We turned around, seeing the door had been shut behind us. Leon sprinted over and shoved the door back open, and both of us looked around but didn't see anyone. Now terrified, we sprinted straight through the tall grass back to the gravel driveway, then booked it to the neighborhood where the car was. We definitely got the scare we were looking for, but maybe even too much so. Neither of us ever tried to figure out what really happened that night, but a couple months later, we saw that the whole house and barn had been blocked off. We tried to look up why, but there was no word publicly about it. What was going on there remains a mystery, but I think if we had stayed to find out, we may have never left. It was the fall of 2018 when this happened to me. I was 22, and at the time I was living temporarily on the East Coast, right outside of the Appalachian Mountain Range. I'll go ahead and admit that I've never been too much of an outdoorsy person and hadn't had any experience in camping or anything, nor was I really that interested in those sorts of activities. However, this was my last year living in probably the best place to do all those outdoor things. Plus, with it being mid-fall and the trees looking pretty and the weather being nice, I figured this was my chance to try it out. I didn't want to go for a huge camping adventure or anything, so I found a simple hiking trail instead that had some good views of the mountains. I prepped a small backpack with water, snacks, and a first aid kit. No cars were there, though it was just a small dirt parking area, so I guess it wasn't as popular as I thought. I parked and started walking. It was calm, and it definitely didn't feel like a path a lot of people would take. It didn't have any noticeable recent shoe prints in the dirt, and was just a fairly small path, with trees on either side. As I got further in, the entire path became more densely covered in trees, enough to block out a lot of the sun and make the whole trail shaded. It was actually really nice and cooling, but not hearing or seeing anyone else became more of an unsettling thought the further out I got. Not in a creepy way, but just that I was entirely alone. It wasn't something I was used to. About an hour, or maybe even 2 hours down the trail, I was caught off guard by seeing a man ahead of me. He was sitting on the side, looking like he was just taking a break under one of the trees. As I passed him, I gave a friendly nod and said hi, to which he looked up at me and said nothing. He didn't smile or nod. He just looked at me for a few seconds, and then I looked away. I wasn't sure what to make of it. Maybe he didn't hear me, or maybe I caught him off guard as well, but the strange look, without even a slight smile, was not giving me a good feeling. I walked a bit faster for the next part of the trail, hoping to put some distance between us. After an hour, I slowed down and made it to the end, which was an overlook of the mountains. The fall colors on the trees made the view way better than it probably would have been any other time of the year, and overall, I was glad to have made the hike. I stared off into the distance for a few minutes, enjoying a view that I almost never got to see, but when I turned around to leave, my heart almost left my body when I saw the man from earlier standing right at the end of the trail. He was maybe 10 feet from me, and I never heard him walking up. After the initial scare, I realized how creepy it was that he was just standing there and not coming up to look out the overlook like a normal person would be doing. But then he did something even more odd. His face shifted as he smiled and said hi, asking me how the view was.
Yeah, it's really nice. You should take a look too.
I responded, trying to be polite, but still really confused. The man stepped closer, then pointed to my right and said there was an even better view down that trail. I looked over my shoulder to where he was pointing. There was a path, barely visible, going through the dense trees. It was rugged and undefined, not something that looked to be used very often. The man walked up to where the path started and stood at the entrance, telling me again about how great the view was and saying it was just a minute or two to walk there. I politely declined, but he continued to tell me about how great it was, to the point where it was obvious that he had to have other intentions than just wanting me to go there and see a nice view. I said I was okay and had to get home, then started to walk toward the main trail, but the man was quick to move his body in front of it. I stopped in place, now even more terrified and thinking of the possible intentions of this man, who was just a few feet from me in the middle of an empty forest. The man looked at me with a blank expression. I took a few steps, walking around him and just hoping that nothing escalated, and for some miraculous reason, it didn't. The man watched me as I made my way around him and down the trail. Every time I looked back, he was still watching me, not even trying to be discreet. Thankfully, he didn't follow, and I made it back to my car. I don't know what that man was trying to do, but it was almost surely not anything good. What was down that path likely was just a dead end, somewhere for him to lead me before doing whatever horrible thing he had in mind. I don't know why he didn't stop me from leaving either. Maybe he was worried about doing something on the main trail. All I can say is that I'm lucky to have gotten out before something else happened. During October in our town, there's always this place that opens up with a bunch of fall and Halloween related things to do. It's a huge fair that's set up on a farm. I'd been there a couple times with my family when I was younger, but this was my first time I'd gone alone with just friends. We were in high school and thought it'd be fun to walk around and just have a few laughs while we enjoyed the Halloween vibes it offered. The place was open late, the whole week leading to Halloween, so we went on one of those weekday nights around 8 p.m. I guess we chose an odd day and time though, because most of the families had already left and there were only a few groups of kids our age running around still. Regardless, we still had fun. We played some of the random games they had set up and messed around a bit, but then one of my friends said we should check out the corn maze. None of us hesitated to run in and try to get as lost as possible. That was until somehow we split into two groups. Three of them ran off one way, and I was left with my buddy Micah. Seeing as it was a maze, there was no use in trying to chase after the others. We went our own way for a few minutes, then started trying to find our way out. During our 10 or so minutes that we spent walking around, we never heard or ran into any of the others from the group, which made us wonder how big the maze actually was. At some point, we were getting tired of it and really started trying to find the way out. Whenever there were multiple paths, we would split up and check if either were a dead end, then come back and go down together whichever we thought was best. But on one of these random crossroads, Micah didn't come back. I waited for a long time, at least 2 or 3 minutes, without hearing or seeing him, until I heard footsteps coming from down the path. As I waited for Micah to reappear, something about the footsteps didn't seem right. A moment later, a large man came around the path and walked up to me. He was wearing farmer-type clothes, like overalls, a flannel shirt, and boots, looking like all the other employees at the fair. He said it was closing for the night and that he would take me out of the maze. I told him my friends were in here as well, and he said that he'd already shown them out, which made everything else make sense now. I followed him, going around multiple turns and corners, But strangely, the sound of the fair started to get quieter and quieter, until I couldn't hear it at all. It was just me and this man walking through a dead silent corn maze. Then we reached a dead end. I stopped and watched the man pull aside the corn and start pushing his way through it, urging me to come through. I did as he said, walking through it and following closely behind him, until the corn abruptly stopped and turned into an empty field. As I looked around, I realized that this was the other side of the cornfield, opposite of the town and fair. And right in front of me was a car parked in the grass with its engine running and headlights off. My breathing became shallow and my heart rate started increasing. All of a sudden, the man quickly turned around and tried to grab me. I was able to react fast enough, moving away and running back into the maze. As I sprinted back onto the path, I heard the man forcing his way through the corn again and following right behind me. I started going straight through all of it, just trying to get back to the fair where hopefully someone could help me. This seemed to work, as the man never caught up to me. When I made it out, my whole friend group was standing at the entrance waiting for me. It's not really clear what happened, but Micah said he came back for me and I was gone. None of them saw the man though, and almost didn't believe me until I called the cops. All they found were tire tracks in the grass. No car or man anywhere.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.